money and markets. What a week. Let's start with this Eurozone, because if you look at the pricings of everything around the world, what's happening in the Eurozone is probably the most critical element. The Greek government, big questions about whether there's going to be a default and a withdrawal from the euro, and if they withdraw, will it be messy rather than managed? The serious concern is growing. Elections are coming up in June. The government says it will be out of cash by the end of the June. The European banks are doing asset sales, and it's not just because of the current issues over debt. They still are not even close to capital standards requirements coming up, so it's a bit of a double whammy. We see a report on the blog from Dealbook that investors have raised $76 billion to buy European bank assets. My guess is that there are going to be some real crown gems in real estate passing hands. Another question I have is, did that cash come from the Facebook offering? I'll bet you a chunk of it did, and it will be a very smart trade indeed. So watch some important assets changing hands. It's just the beginning. The U.S. dollar index took off this week, climbing above 82. If we do get a Greek default or a messy exit, watch it go as high as 87 to 89. If that happens, there's going to be a very big and important realignment between dollar-centric assets and the emerging markets, particularly emerging markets equities. Look for a real change in pricings. Check out on the blog, there's a chart that the PBC made on Eurozone debt, who owes what to whom. It'll help you understand the liabilities of the different banking systems in the different countries. As the Eurozone negotiations go on, we're watching a stall in the global economy. It's making coordinating global policies that much harder. We have an unbelievable number of meetings. Everybody on the Mr. Global side seems to be getting together. We had the G8 meet in Maryland, May 18th to 19th. The president coming out and announcing that their program was pro-growth while cutting debt. Not sure how you do both of those things. NATO, the meeting was in Chicago, May 15th to 21. We talked last week about how Putin pulled a no-show. Big discussions over the missile shield, which, of course, is very controversial with Russia. The Eurozone, with everybody hurting for money, doesn't want to fund updates of anything for NATO, and certainly not the missile shield that is as controversial as it is with Russia. So big stall there and talk of pulling out of Afghanistan. We have the Bilderbergers meeting in Chantilly, Virginia, May 31st to June 3rd, then G20 coming up on June 18th to 19th in Los Cabos. The Bohemian Grove will probably be the big one this year. It's July outside in San Francisco, especially in a presidential year. Probably the most critical right now is the June schedule for the central banks. The big question, of course, is how much stimulus will they inject into the economy, and my guess is it will not be insubstantial. You have Operation Twist running out at the end of June and an election year, so if the Fed is going to inject, June is probably the time to do it, or towards the end of June. Continued reports and discussion about the slowdown in the Chinese economy, a big question, will there be stimulus there as well? And, of course, that's on top of what's happening in Japan. Fitch rating service dropped. Its rating is low, much lower. And we, of course, have the big question of what is going on at Fukushima. I put up another link on that discussion and more questions. Can I find somebody reliable to talk about it? I continue to look, but am not satisfied that I found the right person. The Middle East, we have negotiations with Iran and six of the eight members of G8, ending 2 days of very difficult talks with Iran about the nuclear program. They're going to meet again on June 18th and 19th in Russia. You can see this is building up to a long, slow, hot summer. The U.S. economy, very interesting website that maps out traffic in the United States, and I find traffic to be quite a good indicator of how the economy is doing. What you can see is, except for places with strong energy or tech industries, a lot of economies around the country are down. I know in the closest metropolitan area to me, Memphis is down, I think, about 31% last month. So very, really underscoring a slowdown. Wall Street Journal had a very good piece on manufacturing. I didn't post it on the blog since it was subscriber only, but what was interesting is they pointed out two things. One is that they don't expect this revival in manufacturing to produce new employment. I think that's true. And not one word or mention of the low price of gas. And again, if you haven't listened to the Jim Norman, the latest Jim Norman interview that we did last month, I strongly recommend it. It was excellent for understanding what's happening in the U.S. economy, particularly in manufacturing. If this kind of stall keeps up, Obama could be in real trouble. At the same time, Romney's record on employment issues is about as bad as it can get. So all of this is going to make for an interesting election. One of the things that's been remarkable this week is the silence on J.P. Morgan Chase and their trading position. My guess is that position is a real overhang in the markets, and the silence, if anything, probably reflects the fact that there's real trouble and the Feds are being careful on what they do and say. Equity markets, both equity markets and commodities markets, are showing a lot of weakness. Chances are good for major corrections in the equity markets or a spike in the dollar, making foreign equities much more attractive than they are right now. Again, European assets and equities way down, which is why I said a trade out of Facebook and into prime European real estate would be a very attractive switch. So again, look for Operation Twist ending in June and the Fed to do something. Facebook, I was dead wrong. This is a prediction. I said the Facebook offering would probably move all the way up to a double. I was dead wrong. We've got quite a mess in the market, and this is one I love being wrong on. O'Brien's law says that Murphy was an optimist. Murphy was the guy who said if anything can possibly go wrong, it will. And that's what we're watching on the Facebook offering. The initial pricing was at 23 to 25. They repriced at 38 up the offering. The price ran up to 42. Now it was down to 32 today. I didn't look at the close. It's the largest IPO in history, 100 billion plus, but it's quite a mess. You have the Massachusetts Security Division already subpoenaing analysts who apparently changed their projections during the offering, but only shared that information with selective investors. A pretty bad situation if it's true. Lawsuits against lead underwriter Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs already. NASDAQ, turns out, couldn't handle the size of the deal, and there were real problems in the immediate trading in the aftermarket. Now the New York Stock Exchange is pitching Facebook on moving the listing to the New York Stock Exchange, and we have reports tonight up at Yahoo Finance that the Facebook market makers have to date lost $100 million. So like the J.P. Morgan trading loss, it makes Wall Street look like it's not competent, which at this point in time is not a good look. Food and health. There is an amazing report on the USDA organic standards. It's called the Organic Watergate article, up on the blog. If you're interested in food and organic standards, it's very important, and it will give you extraordinary amount of more background on why I say it's much more important to have fresh local food from somebody you know and trust than to depend on the USDA organic standards. You clearly can't. Science and technology, continuing interesting comment on the privacy issues of cell phones and smartphones. IBM, who should know, has now outlawed the use of Siri voice recognition systems on employees' iPhones and smartphones. They're concerned about what data could be scarfed up and where it would go into the cloud. It's a very interesting story to read. It's up on the blog. And finally, in wild cards, there is a very interesting thing. As you know, I don't watch TV, but I was at the gym this week. And from the treadmill, my question was, is the U.S. Navy sending us a message? The Men in Black 3 movie got released this week. I was watching the morning interviews while at the gym, and Will Smith was giving an interview on the USS Intrepid in New York as part of the launch, and we had scores of actors dressed as Men in Black standing on the deck of the Intrepid, integrated into a large number of Navy personnel in dress uniform. Hacker Gary McKinnon claimed when he hacked into the Navy systems at the Pentagon that he found records of space star fleets run by the Navy, and I was sitting in the gym watching this and thinking, is the Navy trying to tell us on morning TV that Gary was telling the truth?